Introduction. If you're up in the middle of the night, I feel your pain. I've struggled with insomnia for over a decade and know just how awful it can be. I've tried insomnia books, but they only made me more anxious. They promised to put me out in 12 easy steps that take weeks to work. Great. That's just what I need at 3 a.m. Desperate, I even reached for the dictionary to put me to sleep. But that didn't last long either. There was at least one unsettling word that popped out on every page. Thanks a lot, scream and rabies. There's a problem with books that aren't specifically designed for relaxation. You never know when a triggering word, scene, or multi-step sleep plan might wake you up. And so Read 'Em and Sleep was born. Read 'Em and Sleep harnesses the power of mindfulness to tackle insomnia. Mindfulness is the process of gently shifting your awareness to the present, in this case, to the soothing book in your hands. Since the average attention span is only about 8 seconds, your mind will inevitably wander while reading, and that's okay. Just remember that returning to the content over and over again is the practice of mindfulness. Read 'Em and Sleep has been mindfully curated with text that is peaceful and inconsequential, saturated with drowsy language, geared toward multiple disinterests, free of exclamation points, all caps, and boldface. All that is too loud for sleepy time. Written in the passive voice wherever possible, formatted with large gray font to ease the reading experience, sprinkled with footnotes. Footnotes blanket any text with dullness. Repetitive to create a soothing, familiar atmosphere. How to use this book. Listen to this book for at least 5 consecutive minutes around the same time every evening. This should be the last thing you do before bed. Choose a quiet, comfy spot near your bedroom. Though some people prefer to listen in bed, try to use your bedroom only for sleeping. Start with the chapter in which you are least interested. Each chapter begins with a mindful quote, and there are frequent references to the present moment sprinkled throughout the text. These resources will help you ease back into this book whenever your awareness strays. The more you zone in, the faster you'll zone out. Put this book down and go to bed when you can't keep your eyes open any longer. If you're still awake after trying to sleep for 20 minutes, get up and repeat these steps. Over time, the need for this last step should become less frequent. Now, let's read 'em and sleep. Chapter 1. Pillows and Pillow Making. Awareness is the fabric of mindfulness. Pillows appear in a variety of shapes, sizes, colors, and designs that instill a warm sense of coziness in all who behold them. The group of pillows shown below is no exception. The heart-shaped pillow at the top of the group is made of plush green velvet and gray silken frills. It can be easily formed by obtaining 2 heart-shaped pieces of velvet, each of them 18 inches long and 16 inches wide. Next, a fluffy handful of feathers should be gently placed between 2 pieces of velvet. Be sure to equally distribute the stuffing throughout the pillow to prevent unevenness. The third step is to apply adhesive around the sides of the velvet pieces and lightly press down to secure the feathers inside. Having successfully completed these functional steps, which provide the pillow with its structural functionality, one may choose to embroider sprigs of dark blue primrose flowers on the front panel of the pillow. Secure 3-inch wide silken frills around the margins and add a bow to one of the top corners. The color of both the frills and the bow should complement the dark blue hue of the primroses. The melon-shaped pillow shown in the bottom right of the above picture, is customarily placed on rocking chair seats. It is slightly longer than the typical melon-shaped pillows one might find at a neighbor's house or in a quaint little shop. For structural support, the linen foundation of this pillow should be organized into 7 15-inch wide pieces that shorten toward the base and top. An ornamental cover consisting of 4 separate bands of fluted silk, each measuring approximately 7 inches in width, is then embroidered over the 7 pieces. These silk flutings are arranged in long, narrow folds and worked into the top and bottom of the pillow with fine, dark thread. Although any color material may be used, deep shades of gray or blue tend to have the most soothing effect. A gray 14-inch long silk bow may be delicately placed atop this pillow as a final aesthetic touch. The acorn pillow, shown in the bottom left of the above picture, is dark brown in color. It is not a pure oval shape since the bottom of the acorn is larger than the top. The foundation of this pillow comprises 2 egg-shaped pieces of dark brown linen, adhered together and stuffed so that each piece ultimately measures 2 feet long by 1 foot wide. Meanwhile, the plush adornments along the front and back of this pillow are composed of 10-inch wide dull green silk interlaced with flower petals. Lastly, this pillow is traditionally finished with a 7-inch velvet bow. A square pillow with a silk sash is shown in the far right of the above picture. One rather common way of decorating square pillows in general is to cover them with a denim blue or dreamy forest green silken sheet. After this has been completed, a peaceful design may then be added to the front cover of the pillow. This design could, for instance, be composed of a tree with autumn leaves on its branches, or perhaps a singular branch covered with cherries and apples. A 1-square-foot piece of teal brocaded linen, imprinted with a repeating pattern of flowers, outlined in dark gold thread, comprises the right half of this pillow. A 5-inch wide buttercup yellow silk sash, reminiscent of a bale of hay, is wrapped around the left side of this pillow and gathered in 2 pieces at the back. As a finishing embellishment, this pillow may be decorated with alternating blue and violet frills along its perimeter. The square pillow shown in the far left of the above picture is quite similar to the square pillow just described. One difference, however, is that the foundation of this pillow is composed of a square foot of cherry-colored silk, inlaid with indigo flowers and olive leaves, rather than a 1-square-foot piece of teal brocaded linen. Additionally, this pillow is finished with 2 10-inch pieces of interlacing green velvet that come in from the sides and meet at the pillow's center. Now that the process of creating pillows in the shape of hearts, melons, acorns, and squares has been thoroughly explained, consider the rectangular pillow shown below. This pillow is made of 2 joined chestnut velvet pieces that are each 30 inches long by 17 inches wide. Furthermore, the pillow's front center panel is embroidered with pine green oak leaves and brown acorns. The small rectangles above and below the center panel are fern green in color and outlined in brown silk. To imbue the pillow with a warm finish, a band of frilled dark orange silk may be gently placed around the perimeter of the entire rectangle, Note that other rectangular pillows may sometimes appear in pairs, like this. Each of the rectangular pillows in the above pair measures 3 feet long by 2 feet wide, and they are joined at the top by a dainty green velvet bow. One reason for the popularity of this double pillow design in recent years is that it can be made to evenly adjust to the curvature of one's back, and therefore offer a very comfortable sitting experience. Although there is no single overarching method of decorating these pillows, the most common way consists of adhering blue silk frills along the sides of each pillow. These frills usually measure 4 inches wide and create a lovely embellishment. In addition to rectangular pillows, there are a great many types of circular pillows that are quite easy to create. The flower-shaped circular pillow shown in the following picture offers one such example. This pillow measures 1 foot in diameter and is crafted from 2 pieces of brown velvet that are adhered together. The ornamental flower at the pillow's center is composed of 4 8-inch-long petals that are made of a delicate material called rice paper. Filled with the softest of natural foam, this pillow provides a beautiful and comfortable addition to any sofa or chair. This flower-shaped circular pillow has inspired a similar design that makes regular appearances in bedding stores and homes worldwide. The alternate version is decorated with 3 roses instead of a single flower. Each rose measures 7 inches in diameter and contains 12 thin petals. These petals are gently pressed into the cusp of each rose, with the deeper shaded petals closer to the circumference. The following is another popular type of circular pillow that is just as easy to make, but does not have a floral centerpiece. To begin making this pillow, it is necessary to acquire 2 circular pieces of dark blue velvet, each with a circumference of 36 inches. Next, place a generous helping of natural foam in the center of one of the velvet pieces and rest the other piece of velvet on top of the foam. After this has been completed, apply an adhesive around the edges of the velvet pieces and press down to seal the stuffing in place. With the basic structure of the pillow thus created, the front panel may now be decorated. To do so, obtain 6 pieces of triangular rice paper. Each piece need not be exactly the same color as the others. In fact, indigo, olive, and violet would all work well together, as would a blend of cinnamon and citron. Evenly space out these 6 pieces of rice paper in a circular formation, and then lightly secure them to the center of the pillow with dabs of adhesive. All of the aforementioned pillows require some sort of protective cover to increase their durability. To create such a cover, begin by measuring the pillow. Next, acquire 2 separate portions of either linen or awning cloth, and ensure that each piece is 1.5 times larger in both length and width than the pillow to be covered. Linen or awning cloth can be used equally well as pillow covers because of their sturdy composition. Place the pillow between the 2 pieces of cloth and secure it by adhering together the extra cloth on each side of the protected pillow's sides. As this chapter has demonstrated, it is easy to create long-lasting pillows that are both comfortable and elegant. All it takes to do so is a little ingenuity and patience. Chapter 2. A calm nature trail. Savor the beauty in every tree, flower, and pebble, for they are all doorways to the present. There is a little river down in the lowest part of this valley. Near the river, the slopes are both lush and gentle. The slopes near us, however, are slightly drier and steeper than those at the bottom. A group of large, heavy stones rests nearby. Perhaps any lighter stones that once resided here have all been gently washed down the slope by warm summer rains, leaving these behind. The slope on the far side of the valley, across the river, is much steeper than the one where we are now standing. Instead of carefully making our way down this slope, crossing the river, and attempting to climb that steeper slope, which would be a truly tiresome endeavor, it is much better to turn around and face the valley behind us, as shown in the picture below. This valley is filled with the same lazy river that has expanded outward, allowing boats to sail effortlessly upon it. There is even a pier where these boats can dock. In fact, a boat rests there now. Walking left past this pier and deeper into the valley, we can see that green mosses soon begin to carpet the ground around us. If we follow these mosses, they lead us to a shallow spring where the air feels cool and refreshing. Many visitors have taken a dip and relaxed here over the years. Have a look. In the distance, turtles can be seen lying on stones or peering out of the spring. They love feeling the air's crisp refreshment before plopping back down into the warm water, where minnows and crayfish swim idly by. A few yards past the spring, the ground slowly begins to slope upward into a rather large hill. The top of this hill can easily be reached after a few minutes of walking. There, this splendid vista awaits. As we look down, we notice that the hill upon which we are standing has caused the nearby river to partition itself into two smaller ones, with one small river flowing right and the other small river flowing left. This process is similar to what the pitched roofs down below do for their respective houses when it rains. Just as those roofs partition rainfall into two small flows, with each flow rolling down a different side of the roof, so too does this hill partition the river. After strolling down to the base of this gentle hill, we may notice that there is a small footbridge lying a few feet ahead and to the right. As we walk over its wooden planks, we can hear the river happily bubbling along below. A smooth left turn makes it quite easy to continue alongside the river's shore for an hour or so, until we behold this majestic mountain range in the distance. Strolling past a man on horseback, we soon realize that the surrounding land is quite cool and dry. This is primarily because of the steep incline, which causes rainwater to wash down into the valleys and nourish an assortment of daisies, buttercups, and laurels. Farther upward along the trail, where the soil becomes even drier, petunias abound, blanketing the ground in a sea of dusty rose-colored petals. There are also certain trees that grow better along these dry slopes than others. Although willow trees do not make an appearance here, for they require great quantities of water, maple, oak, beech, and linden trees are quite plentiful. As we follow the road still higher, the land becomes even drier and rockier, until we finally reach the highest location along our journey. From now on, our path will take us down and around the back of the mountain. As we continue our gentle descent, small streams coming from the snowy crest of the mountain leisurely flow alongside us, Notice how they first unburden themselves of large stones. Then they slowly release finer gravel and sand until only the finest silt particles remain. These are the last to go. Over 5 hours have passed in the blink of an eye, and our path once again evens out. This time, it shows us the way home.